It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from Bojangles Studio high in the mountains of North Georgia. This is O'Neill Outside, and we welcome you to a brand new unused Saturday morning. And what a great Saturday morning it is. It's the middle of May. Fishing is outstanding, and we have a special guest today, and I'll get to him in a moment. But I'm reminding you that you can listen to this number one outdoors live radio program in the United States on WSB AM and FM and the Sports Broadcast Nation nationwide from Sacramento and Houston and Dallas and St. Louis and Columbia and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Little Rock and all over the country. And I urge you to tune in. What a great way to start the weekend talking about hunting and fishing. So I'll introduce our guest to you in a moment. It's my privilege to invite local guys to you go to Horsetown Stores and Cherokee County Toyota. I delivered a whole bunch of hats and signed them all, and it's all real tree edge. You don't have to buy anything. Go to a Horsetown store or Cherokee County Toyota and say, hey, where's my hat? And you can get one at a time, please, as long as they last. It's 7 after the hour. This program is brought to you by Tough Shed, Horsetown, Hayes Auto, Realtree, Fire Aid, Timbuktu Outdoors, True Turn, Roadrunner, Crocodile Bay Lodge in Costa Rica, Stripling's General Store. I went there this week. It's a mistake to go to Stripling's if you're hungry. Okay, Works Tools, the Whitetail Institute Wild Game Forage Seed, Rugged Ridge Floor Liners and Jeep Parts, located right there in North Atlanta and operating worldwide. And finally, the Governor's Gun Club, one of a kind, sports shooting sports headquarters. It's in Kennesaw, Georgia, and you need to go to the Governor's Club and expose yourself to that. All right, when we get back, I'll be introducing our guest for the second hour. We're having a wonderful time talking about fishing, and we will get to your calls, I promise. This is O'Neill, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255, which translates to 800-WSB-TALK, T-A-L-K. You stay right there, and there's more outdoors headed your way. Welcome back, everyone. 12 after the hour, I wanted to introduce to you Matt Thomas. He's the chief fisheries, or the fisheries chief. What are you?
First thing
fisheries chief is fisheries fine. It works either way.
For the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife Resources Division, and we have a lot of questions for him this morning about licenses and who pays and getting kids in fishing and on and on and on. But before we do that, Matt, because they've been holding on for quite some time, let's talk now to Jerry. He's in his car somewhere, and he's calling O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm on speakerphone. I just want to check. I've actually already made it to work, but that's quite all right.
Okay.
I had a question for Matt. I was listening earlier when you were talking about shoal bass and locations that can be found in Georgia, and you mentioned above Lanier and the Hooch, and I think you said the Okmulgee.
Yes, sir.
I was fishing in the, I'm going to say, mid to late 90s on the Hooch. I don't know if you're familiar with Whitesburg, Georgia, but there's a ramp on the Hooch in Whitesburg. And we were fishing, it was me and a buddy of mine, we were fishing between Plant Yates and Plant Wansley, that little stretch there. And yep. I caught a bass. It was on some shoals in that stretch of the river. And it was, we're probably talking pound and a half range, caught several of them. Really hard fighting fish, and I was wondering if you could give me a distinguishing feature of the shoal bass.
Okay.
You know, one of the things we look for in a shoal bass, if you look back towards, now they do look like other species, but if you look back towards the tail or the caudal fin, they'll have kind of that dark blotch or marking right on the tail where the body meets the tail. And of course, they're unlike largemouth. If you close their mouth, their jaw does not extend pass their eye. That's because they don't have, they're not a largemouth.
People catch them and think they're smallmouth.
That's right. They used to call them the Flint River smallmouth.
Uh-huh.
I suspect that area you're talking about does still have shoal bass in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so very well could have been a shoal bass.
Yeah, he's a little fighter.
If not, it was probably one of the red eyes.
Okay.
That was the feature I was looking for, because the fish I caught had red eyes.
Okay. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, definitely fun fish to catch. First time I had experienced that, catching one of those, and they did bite extremely hard. Actually, I would have ranked them harder fighting than a spotted bass.
Oh, I agree, and I'd encourage you to get, you know, to me, especially with these riverine bass like the shoal bass, I mean, now is we're in the best days right now. Shoal bass fishing is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so that area you're talking about still has quite a few bass in it.
Now, the world's, you'll be interested in this, Jerry. You're going to be surprised. The world's record shoal bass came out of way down on the Apalachicola River in the territory of, Matt?
We say it comes from the Flint River.
Well, okay. He's a little break off of Flint. Okay.
That's right. That's uh-huh. right. So, you know, we think the world record's an 8-pound, 3-ounce shoal mm-hmm. bass that was caught in Georgia.
Right. Now, he's a bruiser, too.
He
now.
Is a bruiser. You don't see him like that too often.
That's a fact.
You get over a 5-pound shoal bass, you need to be taking a picture of that. That's a good one.
Right.
That's
you need
one.
To go to the hospital.
That's right. That's right.
That would be like catching an amberjack.
Oh, yeah. Amberjack, that's two a day.
Yeah, you're right. You're taking a nap after two.
That's right. Two a day. You hand the rod off to somebody else.
All right, gentlemen, I'll let you go and continue your show. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question.
You bet.
Jerry.
Thanks for calling, Jerry. Now let's talk to Richard. He's calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. I heard somebody say that fishing could be good exercise. Yeah, it could be, I guess, if you've got a hook onto a blue marlin, that's good exercise. Or if you have a deal like I had when I was in Canada, and we came back from Portage, and somebody sabotaged the boat by cutting the fuel line, and we had to row about 2 miles back to the cabin. That's good exercise there.
Absolutely.
But one thing I wanted to find out was, there's just a certain lake that I know of around here that has a reputation for having muskie in it. But I don't really have any idea where it is. I mean, the lake's probably only maybe a half mile long. How can you find out? You just can't go to, like, Onu. You said you can go to Cabela's or something and people will tell you. No, from my experience, you can't really trust them because they'll tell you tall tales and you don't really know. I just wonder, if you can hire a guide locally to go to, like, a local lake to find out, because I'd love to catch a muskie. I never did. I just wonder if that's possible, because you just can't go there and say, because you don't even know where they are, if they have them, or, you know, what's going on. I just want to know about something like that.
To catch a certain species or to understand how to fish a certain lake, a guide is indispensable. Absolutely. But I will warn you, even in West Virginia and north, let's say, I understand, Matt, 20,000 casts to catch one muskie, right?
That's I've heard something like that. Probably one of the worst marketing lines I've ever heard.
That's exactly right. 20,000 casts for a bite. So, Richard, hire a guide, one with a good reputation that you've checked out.
But how can you find something like that here? Now, this lake's over in Ohio. It's 45 minutes from where I am in Wheeling, West Virginia. But it's just like, how do you go about hiring a guide? I would think just fishing in a small lake that, there's not even a guide that's going to be available.
Could be.
May not be.
Matt?
You know, one great place to start is call your biologist there in West Virginia.
Right. Your Department of Natural Resources, West Virginia or Ohio.
Yep.
And
pick their brain a little bit about that lake you're interested in. They can tell you what the fish population looks like and what your chances are of catching what you're targeting.
You bet. Good call, Richard. As always, thanks for listening. You bet. There you go. So, all right, now, Matt, let's talk more. Now, we referred to a lot of these things in the first hour. I want to go over it again. Summertime has arrived. How have how have you and the Department of Natural Resources adapted the public fishing areas to enjoy the summer?
Absolutely. You know, short answer is we've opened them up 24 hours, 7 days a week to allow for night fishing, something we've never done before. And that stems from when we were out talking to our anglers about a potential license increase, mm-hmm. which we hadn't had since 1992. We picked their brains and got the opinion of what do you want us to do if we get the money? And so what we heard was increased opportunity and increased access and improving sport fish populations. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we can do to increase opportunity during those summer months when we see visitation go down is offer nighttime fishing. Mm-hmm. So we put up parking lights in the parking lots, on the fishing docks around the bank. And so all our PFAs from May 1st through September are open 24 hours, 7 days a week.
So what a great place to take the kids.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to fish all night. Just fish a couple hours after sundown.
Absolutely. And one of those things, we're doing several enhancements at these PFAs, and you've been to some of them, is we just ended up buying 30 fish feeders that we've installed on these docks with the lights. And mm-hmm. so what we're trying to do on certain ponds is just what you're talking about, is offer quality fishing where you're going to get a lot of bites, mm-hmm. Keep kids interested. And then, of course, we're still doing some fantastic things with our trophy bass on some of our places.
Mm-hmm. Hey, to a child, it doesn't have to be a 5-pound largemouth. It can be a 2-ounce brim. It doesn't matter.
Does not matter, yep.
Just so the cork goes down. I caught one.
That's right.
And you never, listen, everybody, Matt, you never, ever see a photo of a child with a fish they've caught and they're not smiling.
It's a great point.
They're always smiling.
That's a great point.
Look at what I caught. And it's non-consumptive. You can put the fish back if you want to.
Absolutely.
Catch him later.
There you go.
What the heck? 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. And when we return with Matt Thomas, Chief Fisheries Biologist for the Department of Natural Resources in Georgia, I have a question about who pays for conservation in this state and in the United States. You may listen for the answer. We'll be back. Listening to O'Neill Outside Saturday mornings nationwide, and my guest today is Matt Thomas, Chief Fisheries Biologist with the Department of Natural Resources in Georgia. So let's talk about this for a moment. Who pays for conservation in this United States?
I'll tell you, anglers and hunters have been paying for conservation for almost 100 years now, mm-hmm. Through the purchase of license at the state level, and also there's an excise tax on all the equipment they use. And so those two funding sources are the main funding sources that support state agencies and their conservation efforts. So,
okay. And I want you to know I bring that subject up often, Matt.
Good.
Because I want everybody listening right now, of course we've got a lot of outdoorsmen out there listening right now, but all of you guys need to be ambassadors for hunting and fishing, and you need to know the answer to that question. So if you're in at a football game or you're at the office and somebody says, I just don't understand about this hunting, how can you shoot Bambi? First of all, Bambi is a cartoon character. It's not a deer. Okay. Number two, if it were not for the fishermen and hunters and the tags, the permits, the licenses, and the excise taxes, there would be no conservation in this country. You need to be an ambassador and understand that subject so that you can help people understand. I started to say straighten them out,
absolutely.
But no, you can help them understand. Okay? All right. How are we going to get children involved? What are the steps that the DNR is taking to encourage children and youngsters to be involved in the outdoors?
We're heavily involved in, the term now is called R3, but it's really recruitment, retention, and reactivation of anglers. And so on the recruitment end, where it starts is with youth, with kids. And mm-hmm. so, starting today with the everything warming up, we'll have a big kids fishing event, an outdoor celebration down at Charlie Elliott.
Oh, boy, that's good. I wish I could be there today for that.
I'm heading that way after this.
Are you good?
But what it does is it'll kind of kick off the season. So if you remember, every year there's a National Boating and Fishing Week. And so here in Georgia, June 2nd and June 9th, those first two Saturdays in June, it's free fishing. We don't require a license to go on a PFA or in a trout stream. And so that's when we'll have the bulk of our kids fishing events, where folks can take their families all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to be an expert angler or fisherman, because we'll have people there that can instruct you and show you how to do it.
And those PFAs, those public fishing areas, I can testify, they are full of fish.
You will catch a fish.
Oh,
I will tell you that.
Gosh,
You'll catch
plenty.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's a little commercial. If you'll go to Walmart or Bass Pro and you get you a little can of Fisher's Choice baits, it's shrimp and crickets and mealworms, and it's a little can. You don't have to have live bait, but all of that will work.
Cannot go wrong.
Oh, you cannot go wrong. You put a cricket under a float at a public fishing area, and you're about to get bit.
There you go.
And take a picture. Take plenty of pictures. They'll last a lifetime, because the trip that you take with your children is between you and them. And then one more thing, and I'll shut up about that. I'm sure there's a child in your neighborhood that dad doesn't live at home, or dad's not an outdoorsman. Invite that child to go with your children to the fishing event. They'll thank you forever. And I have some great stories about that in my new book called O'Neill Outside. And you can go to O'NeillOutside.com and you can see and buy the book. $1 of every purchase goes to the Ronnie Thames Foundation to for monies for child burn victims. That's the way I'll put it. Okay. All right, what's the Georgia Slam? Georgia Bass Slam.
Georgia Bass Slam is an angler recognition program that's used to kind of stimulate interest in bass conservation,
mm-hmm.
and then the habitats where they live. And so most people don't realize that we have upwards of 10 species of bass in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So the slam is, if you catch 5 of those 10 in 1 year, you got to start January 1st.
Uh-huh.
There's some prizes involved, and it's not easy. We launched it last year in 2017, and we had 15 people
mm-hmm.
complete it.
Oh,
so you think
okay.
of all the people that were trying it,
uh-huh.
15. And so it's a great way to see the state. If you need to mix it up a little bit and travel to a new area, this is a good excuse to do it, because these different bass live in different habitats in different areas of the state.
Well, that's it would be quite an accomplishment. I've never caught, what'd you say, a Swanee bass?
Swanee bass.
I've never caught a Swanee bass.
It's you got to go down South Georgia, get
uh-huh.
in the Withlacoochee River or the old Lockney River, but
mm-hmm.
they're there. And so if you can make the trip, that's where you'll get one of those.
Okay, one of the things we failed to talk about in the first hour of the program, and I'm going to bring it up now, stocking programs for stripers and hybrids.
Yep, certainly our stocking. We're just on the heels, or just finishing up our spring stocking season, which is an exception. We call it go time in
okay.
the fisheries world, because it's not only stripers and hybrids. It's largemouth bass. It's white bass. We've
mm-hmm.
begun stocking. I've seen your mount of your walleye. Remember, we're stocking
oh, yeah.
walleye
up in the Chesty.
That's right. So it's multiple species. And last time I looked, we had stocked over 6 million fish
Ooh.
In the state of Georgia this springtime. And so a lot of that, like you mentioned, the hybrids and stripers, is to maintain those popular fisheries that exist in those reservoirs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about balance, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Managing a lake, whether it's 1 acre or Lake Lanier at 37,000 acres, it's like your front lawn. If you don't look after it, it'll be full of weeds and it'll look bad.
There you go. Yep.
So if a blueback herring get in Lake Lanier, you have to do something about it. I guess the best example is Lake Burton.
That is a good
blueback herring got into Lake Burton and it changed everything.
Yes.
Did it not?
It did. And there's
how so?
There's a lot of that going on these days that fish have been moved around last several years, and it changes things in terms of the fish community. You know, you certainly mentioned blueback herring. May be an excellent forage fish in one instance, but they also kind of the white bass decline was right in there with about the time we started seeing blueback herring. So there's always positives and negatives. You know, one of the problems we're chasing right now is spotted bass or Alabama bass or prolific. Mm-hmm. And on one side of the state, the Savannah Basin, all the way to the other. And so one thing we've tried recently is we've begun stocking largemouth bass and those
in those
reservoirs where spotted bass have kind of taken
over. So
you're
rebalancing that between the spot and the largemouth.
We're trying. And one of the avenues we're taking is, you know, we can raise bass, largemouth, down in South Georgia. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, can we get ahead of spotted bass? In other words, can we raise them early February, March down in South Georgia? Just getting started. And again, you keep mentioning funding, and that's one reason we can go down this road and use this management tool. It's because of the funding and the fishing license increase that we just had.
I entertain questions often on the show here when people telephone and they ask me how I feel about this, that, or the other thing, about stocking this or not stocking that and everything. And my answer is always, whatever the DNR says, that's what I want you to do.
Well, there you go. Well, that was easy.
Well, you guys look at things long term.
Yep.
It's not like, well, I went fishing the other day and blah, blah, blah. No, it's long term.
Yep. No. Nope.
Scientifically long term decisions and policies and projects.
Absolutely. And you need to kind of take a scientific approach or a long look before you start moving fish around. And actually, one of the main conservation messages that we preach is that we really need to curtail moving fish out of bodies of waters where they don't belong. So,
right.
Because once they're in there, you got them.
Probably the most successful, in recent years, the most successful stocking program for freshwaters all over the United States has been the inclusion of the striped bass.
Absolutely.
And because he's a giant, and he's not supposed to be here.
That's right. You know, if you think about it, that's a fancy word. They call it anadromous fish, but that's a fish that can live in the ocean salt water and used to spawn up in fresh water. And so that gives it the ability to survive in our freshwater impoundments, like a Lanier. Now, they don't spawn successfully on their own, and so that's where you see the stocking programs coming
in. And you put them in, like Lanier, you put them in all lakes all over the country, three-quarters of an inch long?
That's about it. Our goal is probably an inch.
Inch long.
Takes about 3 weeks to get them there, but that seems to be the best return for your investment.
Okay.
We get good recruitment out of them. You can haul a bunch of them at one time, and it's been tried or true. We've been doing it for a few years.
I wonder what the freshwater record is for a striper now in the United States. 63,
65? 63 in Georgia. Last time I saw, let's see, it's in Alabama. Is it 67?
67.
Somewhere. They're big. They're big.
A lot of big ones up in East Tennessee in those cold water lakes in East Tennessee and Western Carolinas, too, because water stays colder longer.
Absolutely.
And he's a cold water fish.
Absolutely.
The
largest.
All right, we've got a telephone number. 404-872-07-5800, 972-8255. And so we're going to talk about new fishing targets to encourage people to go to a different lake, okay? And when we do that, we'll be back with O'Neill Outside in about 2 minutes, I hope. Welcome back. I have with me Matt Thomas. He's a fisheries biologist with the Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife Resources Division, and an expert. Obviously, you wouldn't have this job. So I have questions. All right, for people in Georgia, what is what the heck, for the Carolinas, Tennessee, and everybody, I recommend that you just don't go to the same lake all the time. Go to someplace new. It will enhance your fishing skills because you're going to have some. All right, in North Georgia, somebody that it so it'd be reasonable and easy to get to, what lake or lakes would you say that would be an interesting destination?
From a destination standpoint, you know, and I'd throw out, don't only limit yourself to lakes, but like we were talking about earlier, is most people don't know there's great fishing above Lanier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's familiar with
that's
Lanier.
River fishing.
That's right. And given the amount of access and the attention that that segment's got, it's a totally different ball game up there than it is down in the lake.
Yes.
And so that would be definitely one of them.
Okay.
I would say if, you know, everybody likes to fish new lakes and mm-hmm. new impoundments, and there's two of them that I can think of when you were talking about new opportunities.
Okay.
And so there is a new water supply reservoir in Walton County that hadn't been open, I don't know, more than 5, 6, 7 weeks.
Who's that?
That is just outside of Social Circle.
Really?
So it's brand new. Probably 1,600 acres, and the fishing is good.
Oh, that's Haynes.
Is that
Haynes Bridge Lake? Haynes something.
That sounds right. Those opportunities don't come around often. So
every lake is fabulous the first 3 years.
That's it. And so you ask about South Georgia. If you go way down South Georgia, there's a brand new fishing lake, another one that's over 1,000 acres mm-hmm. that's going to open up in Grady County. And so I'm sure you can look that up on the internet, and the fishing there will be fantastic.
All right, so and you can find out all about that by going to the DNR website.
That's right. That's right. Or you can just Google Grady County Fishing Lake. They're scheduled to open. I think it's Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And so you know how it is. You get one or two shots at those new lakes, and the fishing should be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, for the first 3 years. Those 3 years are the best 3 years a lake ever experiences.
Yep. I've seen some pictures of our biologists sampling and the fish they're collecting out of that reservoir. So that may be a good one, like you talked about. If you want to try something new, that may be a good one. Certainly road trip worthy.
Okay. All right. Let's change subjects.
Okay.
What is a hybrid bass, and how did you come up with it?
Hybrid bass is a cross between a striped bass mm-hmm. and a white bass.
A female striper and a male white bass?
You can do either or.
Oh, you can?
You can. What we typically do in Georgia is a female white bass and a male striped bass.
Okay.
And that's called the reciprocal cross.
Okay.
The original cross is what you were talking about, is a female striped bass
uh-huh.
and a male white bass.
Okay.
And so different states do different things. You know, we'll in any given year, we'll make both crosses.
Okay. And the hybrid bass doesn't reproduce?
They don't. They
okay.
don't.
He is a mule, isn't he?
He is, and they grow real fast. And so it's almost that crash and burn phenomenon. You know, you'll get 3, 4, 5 years at a most. That's not to say they won't live longer, but mm-hmm. they grow real fast, and they don't live a whole as long as a striped bass
right.
would.
I got to tell you, it's always a surprise when I love to take people fishing. And you say, we're going to catch some hybrids. And there they are. They're on the surface.
There you go.
And somebody hooks one, and they say, wow, I got a giant. And he comes in, he weighs 2 pounds.
They are great fighters. They are great fighters.
That's right. And it's interesting, I would be remiss if I did not bring it up, and you know this already, but listen to me now, okay? A bass is not a bass. A bass is a sunfish. A striper is a bass.
That's right. Bass, it's a big family of sunfish. It's the centrarchid family. But
mm-hmm.
it's all the bream you think of, and the crappie, and the largemouth. And mm-hmm. all those bass we talked to are actually under the sunfish family.
Uh-huh. Well, this has been fascinating. It's 44 after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. I hope I'm asking Matt the questions that you want to hear asked, because they're the questions that I want to hear asked. Okay. We've talked about a lot of things. The Bass Slam. How do you get fish, children in fishing? Night fishing that
yes.
are available now
yes.
and everything. But there's a place I want you to go. I want you to plan on going. and that's go to the Go Fish Center in Perry, Georgia.
Fantastic place to visit.
It's a day trip, okay? It's not a 20-minute stop on your way to Florida. It's a day trip.
Yep.
Tell us what's there at the Go Fish Center.
There's all kind of things. If you want to get fired up about fishing in Georgia, then this is a place you need to go visit. We've got aquariums with live fish, and I don't mean little aquariums. I mean
oh, yeah,
big
no, this
aquariums.
Is not a little 3x5
no,
aquarium.
No, these are hundreds of thousands of gallons. We've got live alligators. We've got fishing simulators. I know that's one of your favorite.
Where oh, yeah.
You can fight a marlin, or you can see what it's like to fight a bass. We've got a casting pond out back that is chock full of fish. So you can see it all and learn where to go in Georgia, and then you can walk right out back and experience it. And catch all the fish you want, and it's a great place. It's right off I-75 near Perry, Georgia, right near the Georgia National Fairgrounds.
And you can find out how to get there by going to the DNR site.
That's right, gofishgeorgia.com, one word, and okay. You'll find out how to get there.
And take some kids from the neighborhood there. I would imagine a lot of schools take groups there.
We're very popular with, so during the week, it's open for just that, for the school
oh,
kids.
I see.
And
okay.
Then Friday through Sunday is when it's open to the public, and we get the public on the weekends. But it is very popular with the science teachers.
What governor was it in the state of Georgia that pushed that and made that
Purdue.
Happen?
Governor
yeah,
Purdue.
Governor Purdue. Yeah. That's money well spent.
Yep. It's something to be proud of. We get compliments on it all the time, what a resource it is to promote fishing and what it means to Georgia, both from a family's value standpoint and opportunity, but also from an economic impact standpoint.
Okay. You'll get to see all of the fabulous specimens, fiberglass specimens of all the fish in Georgia, from coastal fishing, from the blue marlin to largemouth, to all those fish we talked about today. Fabulous, fabulous. But be sure and go to the fishing simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Where you sit in a fishing chair and you hook one, and it tells you how big this fish is.
That's right. And it's not as easy as you think.
No, it's not. It's like we talked earlier with one of the calls we had about catching off of the Georgia coast, catching, what was the saltwater fish we talked about earlier?
Probably amberjack.
Amberjack.
Yep.
Two a day.
That's all you want.
That's
all
fine.
You want.
I'm done. That's right here. You catch some.
That's right.
I caught my first trip to the Georgia coast. I caught, it wasn't me, it was my guide, okay? I caught a 62-pound amberjack.
Woo. Once. That's you do that,
that
once.
That was it. I'm out.
That's you listen, do that once.
Let's go get a cold beer.
You do that one time. And
62 pounds.
That's a tremendous fish.
Oh, that's
that is fantastic.
A giant.
Wow.
I tell you what, any fish with Jack in his name, Jack Crevel, even a rooster, okay, any fish, saltwater fish with Jack in his name, he's a bad dude.
In a pool. That's right.
He's
that's
a bad a good... dude. A tuna, albacore, all of those fish.
Strong.
Oh,
strong.
Absolutely. We have such... In Georgia, and as a matter of fact, all the southeastern states, we have a fabulous fishery, fabulous range of fishery.
We did. We talked about it earlier in the show. I think some people forget of how vast and diverse the fishing opportunity in Georgia really is. We've got 1.2 million anglers, and so you've got opportunity all the way up from the wild trout streams and high elevation streams in North Georgia, think about it, and all the way down to the Okefenokee Swamp and the Cypress Field swamps and backwaters there and all the areas in between. And so, you know, Georgia has over 300 species of fish. Now, not all of them are game fish, obviously, but it's we're in a great place for fishing quality and diversity, the different opportunities we have.
Yeah, Okefenokee, land of the trembling earth, huh?
Oh, yeah, the land of trembling earth and biting insects.
We referred to it in the first hour of the program. I fished the Okefenokee and found out that many, many years ago there was a logging operation in a little town inside the park.
Oh, yeah.
or what the park is now. I can't imagine spending a summer inside the Okefenokee Swamp.
It takes a lot of character to spend the summer down in the Okefenokee Swamp.
Character is correct. That's exactly right. All right. Interesting answer you gave me early, and I'm going to ask it again because I think it's fabulous. What's your favorite lake?
The one I last caught fish out of.
Okay. I concur. That's the last one. Yeah.
So if you stick with that, probably Hartwell, because that's the last one I caught fish out of.
Okay, Hartwell.
And this weekend, it'll change.
If you had... not scientific answer, but if versus fishing Seminole, I'm talking tackle wise.
Yep.
Versus fishing Blue Ridge or Notley, how would you change your tackle?
Boy, you picked two different ones.
I did, didn't I?
So you've got Seminole, which is fairly shallow and exceptionally heavily vegetated,
mm-hmm.
hydrilla.
Dark water.
That's right, versus kind of the deep, clear mountain streams. You always want to lighten up on your tackle. You know, I've heard you say over and over, and I concur, 6 pounds.
Six-pound test line.
Will get you there because you're going to be fishing in clear water,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be deep, whereas Lake Seminole is a lot of shoreline there, and it's shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the edges on Seminole oftentimes are not necessarily the hard bank, but the edge of the vegetation,
right.
or hydrilla.
Mm-hmm. Well, this week on O'Neill Outside, which you can watch on Pursuit Channel, Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Florida, Fox Arizona, Tuff TV, The Hunt Channel, and blah, 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 I am fishing with Davey Height. Now, Davey won the Bassmasters Classic, a Bass Angler of the Year for two years, listen to what Davey says. The day we fished together, he caught five times as many as I did. He's five times better than I am. Those guys are different. They understand it. Their feel for the bait. Their feel for the bite. Their feel when to set the hook and where to cast and how to cast. They're different. And if you watch the show this weekend, you'll get to see Davey Height do those things. He's a fabulous angler.
He is outstanding.
And a great guy.
Oh, that's good.
I've got time to tell you this. We fished, Davey and I fished together. The air temperature was 24. Surface temperature was 42. That's one of those days when I think I got a bite.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
We caught seven. I caught two, he caught five. So he's 2.5 times better than
that's
I am.
That's right. That's
okay.
right. And that's
Which
why
is
he's
about
on
right.
tour. That's right.
This is about right. All right, we got to go out of here for a break. Then we'll come back with more with Matt Thomas, Department of Natural Resources in Georgia Wildlife Resources Division. So if you have a call and a question, you need to do it now. We'll be back.
Gwinnett Stripers Baseball is a great family value.
Tooling along in my Chevrolet, toking on the number and digging on the radio. Just as I cross,
we've got time for one more call on this, and I want to take it because it's on the subject of trout fishing, and it's David. Good morning, David. You're on O'Neill Outside. What do you got going on? David.
It's Vince.
Hey, David. Well, I've lost David. Let's talk about trout fishing for a minute. Why is it that the trout streams in Georgia aren't better?
You know, they're just not that productive when you get up there. They're alkaline. The soils aren't great.
The soil is different.
Sure. And so we do have wild trout streams in Georgia.
Our
trout just don't grow real fast in those streams. And so a lot of our trout program is dependent on stocking.
Right.
And so,
well, you do a fabulous job of that. I mean, all right, so it's Thursday afternoon, and I'm telling my 9-year-old little boy, let's go trout fishing this weekend.
Yep.
How am I going to find out what's the best place to go and when you're stocking?
So every week, it's meant to help you plan your weekend. Friday afternoons, we list everything that we stock, all the streams that we stock for that given week, and you can actually sign up, and we'll send it to your phone.
Oh, okay.
And so one of the things that we're proud of this year, given the extra funding that we've is we're actually stocking a larger trout this year.
Oh.
And so the anglers that we've heard from this year are really complimentary. Two thumbs up on the larger trout. So it's got to be 10 inches before we're even going to put it in the water. Mm-hmm. So think about your interactive maps on our website. It'll give you all the information about the different types of trout streams we've got. Every Friday afternoon, make sure you subscribe to that trout list.
Okay.
We'll send it right
to you. That's
automatic. Automatic. Okay. Automatic. And so you can answer those questions. Hey, where we won't go this weekend? And you can look at the list and see what we stocked.
Okay. Man, this has been quite a treat. I thank you for the effort of coming up here all the way from Covington, Georgia, and telling us about the fishing in Georgia. It was this show is more worthwhile than most of them are, and I thank you for that, man.
Well, I thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, there you go, boys and girls. Another 2 hours of outdoors from O'Neill Outside. Hey, make it a habit, all right? And keep this in mind wherever you go, whatever you do. If you're too busy to take a kid along and go fishing, you're too busy. We'll see you guys next week.